Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this evening is the lectionary reading from John chapters 18 and 19. So this evening, we are going to focus our attention on the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. In this petition, we pray for God's kingdom, a subject which has often been misunderstood. The kingdom of God was misunderstood in Jesus' day as well as in our own. And so as we consider the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's Passion, perhaps we can shed our own misunderstanding of this petition. So among the people of the New Testament, the kingdom of God was a severely misunderstood thing, as is evident from our text this evening. As Jesus is brought to Pilate, the first question Pilate asks him is, "Are you the king of the Jews?" The correct answer, of course, is yes, but not in the way that Pilate imagines. Jesus is the king of the Jews, the king of all creation, but this is not what is presumed here. When the people in Jesus' time think of him as a king, they think of him as a king in earthly terms. This can be seen as far back as the infancy of Jesus and the visit of the Magi. They ask a question which uses that same title that Pilate asked. Where is he who was born king of the Jews? And then Herod interprets this birth of a new king in worldly terms. He interprets it as a threat to his own throne. He can only conceive of a king who is one like him, who rules by threat and by coin. And when it comes to king, there can only really be one. We see it again in John in chapter 6. After Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children with nothing but a child's lunch, and then he had 12 baskets left over, the people decided, they saw it, and they decided to take him by force and make him a king. They too only thought of a king in earthly, material ways. They thought of him as someone who would fill their bellies with bread, a king of this world. Indeed, even among those who understood that Jesus was the Messiah, they did not understand what his kingdom would truly be like. What sort of kingdom was at hand in his preaching? They expected Messiah to lead the people of Israel to a glorious new era in which they would rise up against the Roman occupation and kick out their foreign rulers. They thought that they would restore the kingdom of Israel to its former glory, as in the days of David and Solomon, but perhaps maybe even a little bit greater than that if they were really lucky. With a king like Jesus, who could perform miracles of healing and feeding, they would never go hungry again or suffer any sickness. Their lives would be good on this earth. Their lives would be good in this world. They thought of Jesus as truly an earthly, worldly king who could provide for their material needs. And so it is with Pilate. If Jesus was making a claim to the throne, a claim to be the king of the Jews in earthly terms, then he would be a rival to Caesar, or at the very least, a rival to Herod, Caesar's puppet king in Judea. Today, we tend to make the same mistakes about Jesus and misunderstand his kingdom. We always want to make God in our own image and to imagine God's kingdom the way that we would have it. Our imaginings of the kingdom of heaven are not terribly different from those in Jesus' own days. We just have slightly different ideas of what an earthly king looks like. But this is not God's kingdom. As Jesus makes clear to Pilate, his kingdom is not of this world. It isn't at all what we think it is. It isn't just bread and coins. If Jesus' kingdom were a kingdom of this earth, it would be one he would win in battle. Jesus' servants would fight for him, as he said, but this isn't the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God, which we pray for in this petition? Well, according to Luther in his large catechism, it is nothing other than what we learned in the Creed. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into the world to redeem and deliver us from the devil's power. He sent him to bring us to himself and to govern us as a king of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and an evil conscience. For this reason, he has also given his Holy Spirit, who is to bring these things home to us by his holy word, and to illumine and strengthen us by the faith, in the faith by his power. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. This is not of this world, it is from heaven. Jesus' kingdom is not of this earth, otherwise he would fight for it. His kingdom is of heaven, and therefore he suffers for it. He suffers for it as the one true sacrifice for our sins, to redeem us and to deliver us from sin, death, and from the power of the devil. This is the true kingdom of God for which we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Now, as the Catechism teaches, God's kingdom comes by itself without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. Jesus has died for our sins. He has redeemed us, whether we believe it or not, and whether we pray for it or not. Now we pray that we might receive the blessings of the kingdom, that it might come to us also. So then, how does God's kingdom come? It comes to us in two ways. First, it comes here in time through word and faith. And second, it comes in eternity forever. And in this petition, we pray for both of these things. We pray that God's kingdom would come to those who are not yet in it. We pray that by hearing God's word, those who do not believe may come to faith and be saved by grace through faith and the redemption that Jesus has won for us on the cross. And we pray that through hearing the word, we would daily grow in faith as well. It is, as Luther says, as if we were praying, "Dear Father, give us first your word, so that the gospel may be preached properly throughout the world. Second, may the gospel be received in faith and work and live in us, so that through the word and the Holy Spirit's power, your kingdom may triumph among us. And we pray that the devil's kingdom be put down, so that he may have no right or power over us, until at last his power may be utterly destroyed. So sin, death, and hell shall be exterminated. Then we may live forever in perfect righteousness and blessedness." And so, God's kingdom does come to us. It comes to us in his word, that very word which we read here in church. It is also that same word which is attached to the sacraments. In this, we receive God's kingdom. We receive God's kingdom in the waters of holy baptism, through water and the word, and it is baptism through which we enter into the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom comes to us in the Lord's Supper, God's word uniting Christ's body and blood with bread and wine given for us sinners to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. this very body of Christ which hung on the cross, the very blood which was shed is delivered there for you, for your forgiveness. And God's kingdom will come in its full glory at the end of the age when God will make all things new and bring to completion all that he has promised by his word. And all of this is possible because of our Lord's passion. One of the last things that Jesus taught us is that his kingdom is not of this earth. But it is far superior to any earthly kingdom that has ever been imagined by man. Not only does God feed us in his kingdom, not only does he heal us, but he washes away our sins and he makes us holy as he himself is holy. He makes us his own, which is far superior to any kingdom that we could ever imagine on earth. And so, Jesus did not fight for his kingdom, but he died for it. And at his death, the temple curtain was torn in two, signifying that God's kingdom is open to all. It is open to you. It is open because of our Lord's passion, whereby he won for us forgiveness. And thus we pray, thy kingdom come, indeed, and may it come to us also. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.